Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 42, being recorded on the 3rd of September, 2014, with special guest Sandrino DiMatteo. My name is Sujit DiMello. I'm a senior consultant with Microsoft in the app dev space based out of New Jersey. And on Skype with me, I have my esteemed colleague, Evan, and our special guest. Guys, please introduce yourselves.
Yeah, this is Evan Vasilik, and I'm a senior support escalation engineer with the Windows support team. I'm specializing in Windows Azure IaaS.
Yes, hi. So I'm Sandrino. I'm a Microsoft Azure consultant in Belgium at Riel Dolman, which is one of the largest consulting companies in Belgium. And I specialize in everything that has that relates to the Azure platform.
Excellent. And, you know, we appreciate Sandrino joining us. I know it's late in Belgium and, it was difficult to make a common time, but we could all get together. So it's nice of him to give up a part of his evening, which I believe he normally spends writing blogs and whatnot. So I appreciate you spending some of time with us here. Now guys, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but, I must say that there's been a steady, stream of updates that have been happening with Windows Azure of late. Do you guys get that sense? That seems like just coming at you left, right, and center.
Especially with Scott Guthrie's blog. So I tend to look at it every day to see all the news that's coming out. So it's a great time to be working with the Azure platform.
Yeah, I kind of laugh, Sandrino, at your statement around specializing in the Azure platform, because that becomes bigger and bigger and bigger every day.
Yeah.
It's incredible how fast the platform's growing as a whole. You know, Scott's is a great source, but there's things that don't even hit his that get released, smaller features and smaller components. He just kind of hits on the highlights these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one of the nice things about this podcast is we try to keep our listeners up to date with all these updates that are happening literally, you know, on a daily basis. So, One of the updates that came out recently, which really caught our attention, was related to the new Azure Search service that got released. And it just so happens that Sandrino specializes somewhat in that area, and we were lucky to find him, and he agreed to talk to us about search, and we'd like to just have a little bit of a discussion with him on what this new search service is all about and how our customers might use it. So, Sandrino, I mean, you know, obviously when we talk about search, you know, we conjure all sorts of images in our mind about Bing search and Google search and whatnot. And so, and maybe you can just give us a quick overview initially about, you know, what's a good use case for this new service? Why would Microsoft come up with something called Azure Search? What is it that we couldn't do before Azure Search was released?
Well, actually, we could do anything we want without Azure Search, and basically by using another search solution like Elasticsearch, Solr, Lucene even. But the great thing about Azure Search is that it's managed by the product team. So there's no need for you to set up a VM to secure it, to make it high available, to take into account replication, partitioning. All those things are managed by the Azure Search service. And the only thing you have to worry about is putting the data in and querying the data, so searching for it. So I think the big advantage of using Azure Search is that it's a managed service.
And just to be clear, it's you kind of mentioned on some of the two key points, which is putting stuff in and then querying. So is that the main use case that an application developer would look at? They have an app and they need to be able to offer a search facility within the app, and this is a managed way to do that. Is that a way to look at it?
Exactly, because if we look at solutions like, because you mentioned Bing and you know, maybe even Google Search, all those things, those will index data for you. So they will look at your site and start crawling it, start indexing it. So that's one way to do search. But with Azure Search, it's actually not a crawler, so it will not look at your SQL database or your blobs or table storage, but it will be up to you to take the data, shape it however you want. So what you'll typically do is, if you want to index data from a relational database, you will create a flat structure of your data, which would be similar to a traditional view in SQL Server, for example. So you would flatten the data and then push it to your search index. And once that's done, you can query the data.
Oh, okay.
The typical use case would be to push data to your search index.
I see. So if you have a SQL Server, you would run some sort of an ETL job on it, extract the data out, and then put it into the search service.
Exactly.
Okay.
So and so you said that this is actually where the Azure engineering team, the search engineering team, has actually turned this into a service. And by that, what you're saying is, like, I don't have to do anything. How hard? Like, I've known for a couple of years. So I used to support SQL, and I knew about SQL Full Text Search, and I know there's some other like you mentioned Lucerne and some others out there that'll do it. My experience with those has been it's pretty non-trivial to configure those. Is it really? I mean, is this truly as easy as pushing a button and I've got my service and then I submit my data?
That's it.
Wow.
So with the new portal, you can set up a search service. And actually, if you look at Scott Guthrie's timeline, he tweeted about a site extension I made. I just recently published it to siteextensions.net. And so what this does is, if you have an Azure website and you manage it through the new portal, you can add site extensions to that website. And one of the site extensions is a RedDoc search portal. And if you go to my blog, you will find more information about that. But it's actually a management tool to manage your index. So it allows you to create indexes, to upload data in CSV format and to have it crawled or indexed automatically. And you can also use it to test some queries to see if you can do geospatial searches, to test suggestions. So to test every aspect of Azure Search is something you can do now with this new site extension. Actually creating the search service and using the site extension is only a few clicks away. So no need to write one line of code. You can all do everything through the new Azure portal.
Wow. So you just upload, you can upload it through the Azure portal, you upload all your data files, and then how do you query it? I mean, I guess that's, how do you finally integrate the query feature with your app? If you have a web app, for example.
Okay, so if we look at the search service today, it's very basic. So there's no way to, there's no user interface to manage the search service. So this is why you would use my site extension to do that. But if we look at the SDK perspective, there's no official SDK at the moment. So this means that you would do some standard REST calls to the Search API to get your data. Or you could use a NuGet package I published, which is called reddog.search. And this is actually a .NET client for the Azure Search service. And once you have that, you can just in a few lines of code query your index.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah, so you're basically wrapping the REST APIs at that point.
You know, exactly.
Okay. So I guess the scenario then typically is that you're basically going to expose some sort of search box, right, or some search capability in your site. And it sounds like we've made it really easy with Windows Azure websites, and that's what you're gonna call into those APIs using that.
Yes, but a search box would be way too basic to really use or leverage the power of Azure Search. Because okay. You mentioned full text search a few seconds ago, mm-hmm. But actually Azure Search goes beyond full text search.
What can you do?
Yeah, so for example, you can do geospatial searches. So for one of our customers, we had a requirement that a user in need of a healthcare provider could find a specific provider in a range of 10 kilometers within his current position. So this is also something Azure Search can do for you, which means that you can find a restaurant within your neighborhood or find a bar or whatever. So we have full text search, we have geospatial search, and next to that you can have some additional things like suggestions, which would feed your autocomplete search box. And there are a few other features. Let's see. Just thinking of what else we could talk about.
So you're talking about the geospatial, then that says that if my data has geospatial metadata associated with it, I can query against that then.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So I can, so basically, so it's not just my full text data, but it's also any metadata that's layered on top of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Something else that's also very interesting is facets. Now, facets, if you think about a website, for example, hotel booking website. So if you look for a hotel in Redmond, for example, you would type Redmond and it would find a few hotels. And then typically on the left side, you would have a filter where you would see hotels with air conditioning. There would be 5 of them. Hotels with television, 20 of them. And so you, in a typical search, advanced search setup, you would always have some filter on the left side, allowing you to drill down in the search results. And this is also something you can do with Azure Search. So if you enable faceting, you can, you will get some additional data from search that you can use to build advanced drill down filters together with your search results.
That's great. And just so I understand, so if I'm a web app developer building this search box or search area within my app, do I have to call multiple APIs, one of them to get the search results, the other ones to get the facets back? Is that how it works?
No. So what you would do is when you do the query, you would explicitly say if you want to do faceting or not. And if you mention that you want faceting, within the response of your query, you will get the results and the facets in the same query or in the same call.
I see.
So it's optimized then to make sure that – so I guess that's already really optimizing you for if you're in a low bandwidth or whatever scenario.
Yep.
You're not going to have to make multiple calls back and forth.
Cool. Exactly.
And Sandrino, you also mentioned the autocomplete assistance. How is that achieved?
Well, you have two different REST operations or calls for that. So you have one doing the full text search, which is a little slower, of course. But typically what you want to do if you're typing and you want some fast autocomplete, you also have the suggestions API, which is actually optimized for everything that has to do with autocomplete search boxes.
I see. Excellent.
Maybe something else that's also very interesting is scoring profiles. Scoring profiles is a functionality that actually allows you to tune the search results. So if we take the example of a music store, which is selling CDs online, Well, typically someone will be looking for maybe rock music or dance music. And so if that person enters rock in the search box and searches for it, well, we can have multiple hits. We can have a hit for rock on the genre of the CD, but also on the title. And so in that case, we typically want, if we have a hit on the genre, that those results are high up in the list. So, and with scoring profiles, we can say, we can, for example, tune the weight of specific fields, and we could say that maybe the title or the genre or something else will get a better weight or a higher weight, which will make those results stand out in the complete result of the query.
Great. And you do that when you make the query or when you submit the data for indexing?
No, actually, when you create or edit the index itself. So when you create an index, you will be defining a few fields like title, the author, the band, whatever. And once you've done that, you can start create a scoring profile. And in that scoring profile, you would define specific weights for the fields.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, this sounds like there's a ton of functionality to this service at this point, and it's still only in preview.
Exactly.
What kinds of things, and again, without going into, any things that we can't disclose, but, what kinds of things is this service missing that is pretty typical, right? Because it like anything else, right? We release the first version and then we continue to iterate from there. What are the kind of things that customers would potentially be looking at this service that we don't have?
Okay, so it's important to know that the service itself is based on Elasticsearch. And so it doesn't expose all the features of Elasticsearch yet. So one of the interesting features in Elasticsearch that would be a great addition in Azure Search is the analytics part. So that you can, at the moment, it's very hard in Azure Search to have a clear view of who is looking for what and what could be improved in our indexing process to give the users better results. So today we're missing a little bit of the insight of our data and how users are searching. So I think one of the top features to add in the future would be supporting analytics to give us some insights on how people are looking and what they're looking for and how many times a day, and just to get a better picture of how people are using search.
Okay. And Sanrino, you mentioned Elasticsearch. Can you explain that a little bit? I don't think I am aware of that particular service or feature.
So Elasticsearch is an open source search engine, which I think today is the leading search solution available. So it's very easy to set up in an Azure VM. It has a ton of features, actually more features than Azure Search, but we actually didn't want to use it on our projects because we didn't want to do the management of those VMs. We didn't want to be responsible of keeping them online, of making sure that they scale enough. So that's why even if Azure Search has less features today, it's a big win that we don't have to manage the infrastructure that goes with it.
Yeah, that's typically, at least my experience with those kinds of services, is it's not that the setup of the features that's hard. It's configuring it for high availability, all those kind of things. And that's where I typically see people make mistakes as well, right? Yep. They think they're highly available, but they're really not. And abstracting all that from them is great.
That's amazing. Thank you. So in terms of importing documents into this, do we have any benchmarks or have you done any testing as to, what would be the maximum number of documents somebody should think about importing into this?
So actually Azure Search supports batching, which means you can upload up to 1,000 records in a single batch, or up to 16 megabytes. Okay, so what you'll typically do is, if you have all your data, you will start paging on it, get every 1,000 results, for example, and then push those to Azure Search. And depending on the tier you're in, you'll have the tier you're in, or the number of units you provisioned, will also define the number of documents you can store in Azure Search.
And that ranges from, like, to what number? Right? Is that, like, in the billions or millions? I'm just trying to get a rough idea here.
So if I'm correct, Azure Search starts with a free tier, where you get 10,000 documents, and then you can actually scale up to 15 million documents per unit. So if you scale to the standard tier, you can start adding units and then add more capacity in slices of 15 million.
Wow, that's great.
Those numbers just seem so big. I mean, you're not. This isn't a small capability, right? This has the ability, it sounds like, to scale really high.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and I'm guessing since these are, you know, we treat each of these records in these files that we import as each record as a single document. I suppose there is APIs to delete records, update them, or add new ones, right? I mean, they have all sorts of combinations like that.
Exactly, yes. So you can delete, update, and create.
Okay.
So how does, you know, so if I'm a customer that's used Elasticsearch somewhere else, it sounds like I would be able to move over to this with minimal effort or code, or like somebody like yourself, you know, you were saying, you know, previously you had set this up yourself, and now you want to move from kind of your own rolled solution to this hosted service. It sounds like the ramp wouldn't be too bad to go from one to the other.
From a code perspective, the API is not the same. So the goal in the end of Azure Search is to provide more feature than are available in Elasticsearch, or maybe to integrate with other Azure features. So the API is not the same. So this also means that if you move from Elasticsearch to Azure Search, you'll always have a little bit of work to do on the API calls.
But these are still just REST calls in the end. So if I change my REST call,
yes.
Well, do my results come back in a similar fashion?
In a similar fashion, but not exactly the same.
Okay, so I would have to make some code changes, and this isn't kind of just do it in the weekend type thing. This is make plans and then go do it. But it doesn't sound like it would be awful to migrate.
Exactly. So the concepts remain the same. So fasting, for example, is something you'll have in Azure Search and also in Elasticsearch. But the results and how you configure it is just different on a REST perspective.
Okay.
And Sabrina, you mentioned Lucene earlier. Is that something that is also used under the covers, or I'm not really sure?
That I have to say, the REST API supports the Lucene syntax, but I'm not sure if they're using Lucene under the hood.
Okay.
So officially, the official communication was that it's using Elasticsearch. So,
got it.
I guess, conceptually, you as a customer, you probably don't. I mean, I guess somebody that's super, super, super obsessive about their search results might care, you know, this engine versus another. But if this is truly supposed to be a software as a service, in essence, right?
You wouldn't care.
You don't really care. I mean, yeah. As long as you get basically the same results back, the implementation. I mean, I think that's part of the beauty that I see with these types of services is as a company, right, I'm free to change my implementation however I need as long as I leave my APIs the same. But as a customer, again, same thing. If the company decides to, you know, completely re-architect underneath, as long as I don't have to change my APIs, I don't know that I really care.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just to be clear, is this limited to text documents currently? Can we import like PDFs and Word documents, things like that?
Well, actually, today it would be up to you to extract the text from the PDF document and put it in Azure Search.
I see. But in the results, you can put a link to the original document.
Yeah, that could be an additional field in your search index. Yeah.
Got it. Excellent. Okay. I think that's a real nice skinny on Azure Search. Are we missing anything that we perhaps didn't ask you, Sandrino?
Well, I think we covered the most important features. Let me think. Well, maybe just one last feature two last features that are also interesting is highlighting, for example. So when you get search results, you typically want to display them on your web page, web application, for example. And Azure Search also supports highlighting, which means that you can get some visual feedback from Azure Search, which would add some HTML tags to the search results. So that, for example, if someone is looking for rock, and you in the search results to get the movie Rock of Ages, then in that case, if you display those search results on your screen, well, Rock will be in bold. So, not sure if I'm explaining this.
That sounds really clear. I mean, yeah. Basically, it gives you. I mean, because you see this in Pages today, right? Where you don't have to. You get this visual impact of, okay, there's the word I'm looking for.
Exactly.
And
this is also something Azure Search can do for you, is just add a little bit of markup to the search results so that you can give some visual feedback to your users so that they can see which words they hit in those results.
Excellent. And you said there was a second thing that you might have missed?
Yes, just another interesting feature is that in terms of authentication, you have management keys, so an API key that will give you full admin access to the search, but you also get a query key. So this means that if you're building a mobile app or an app on Windows 8, instead of having to go to your own backend, to your own API, you could go directly to Azure Search and use a query key for read-only access on the indexes.
Very handy. Excellent. Well, Sandrino, we'll be sure to put a link to your blog as well as the site extensions and the .NET API that you so kindly provided to our app developers. And we'll put that in the show notes when we publish this particular episode. But thank you very, very much. This has been a very, very educational session for me, at least, and I'm sure Evan as well.
Yeah, no, completely. Thank you very much, Sandrino.
Okay, well, it was great to be on the show, and thanks for inviting me.
All right, Sandrino. Take care. Have a good evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle, @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.